Hello, everybody. I am Tudor Dumitrash. I work at Semantic Research Labs, I'm here to tell you about some early results from our work on evaluating operating system security through big data analysis. This is joint work with my colleague Petros Evstatopoulos, and actually, I want to encourage you to ask questions during the talk if you would like. Let's turn this into a workshop discussion. So, the motivation behind this work is to better understand the factors driving the cyber security arms race. So, 10 years ago, in 2002, researchers showed that. A well-crafted worm can infect all the vulnerable hosts on the internet in 30 seconds, even though if the hosts are in the millions. and since then, the number of the volume of malware has grown significantly. So, over the past 10 years, data that is published yearly by Symantec in a report that we call the Internet Security Technology Report, Threat Report, shows that the number of new malware variants grows at an exponential pace. At the same time, operating system vendors have introduced a number of improvements such as data execution prevention, user access control, attack surface reduction, and certainly since 2002, we haven't seen such overwhelming attacks such as the ones described in the 2002 paper. So the question is, as an end user, today, should I feel safer given these two conflicting trends? And the key idea behind this research is to analyze field data that is actually collected on real hosts that are targeted by cyber attacks rather than honeypots or network traces. And the benefit from doing this is that field gathered data allows us to validate assumptions, common assumptions that are made by these security technologies, allows us to make design choices not based on anecdotes and the back of the envelope calculations, but rather on empirical data. So in this talk, I will present two data sets that are available for doing this kind of study. This data is collected by Symantec products for antivirus or intrusion detection telemetry, which are deployed worldwide on real users' machines, the hosts used by real people. So the antivirus telemetry includes 100 million reports from 6 million hosts worldwide, and it covers a 20-month period between December 2009 and August 2011. While the intrusion detection telemetry includes 65 million reports from 5 million hosts, and it covers a 31-month period. Yes, Vern.
So are these sampled or something? Because I would think 6 million hosts would generate a lot more than 100 million reports over that much time.
The answer is yes, they are sampled, but these are all the reports that we received from those hosts. So the way we do sampling, we take a representative sample of the hosts that submit data to Symantec.
So it's a...
We do some filtering that I will describe later on.
Okay.
So it's not all the... Right, so this is after filtering, you're right. So it's not all the submissions. Some of them are corrupted or bogus, so...
Not just that, but I mean, I'm assuming the antivirus telemetry you get more or less every time something new is executed or something like that, at least.
Well, something being something malicious.
Oh, this is not sort of background noise telemetry. This is just badness telemetry.
Yeah, we detected something nasty.
Thank you.
And antivirus means that we detected something nasty as a host-based threat, and intrusion detection means that we detected something nasty in terms of a network-based attack.
Okay.
So By looking at this data, we can answer a number of open questions related to the current security improvements, such as what are the factors that influence the production of malware? Is it inherently more difficult to create viruses for newer platforms? Am I less likely to be attacked if my operating system is up to date? Or are certain operating systems less susceptible to attack? So my goal today is not to provide a definitive answer to these questions, but rather to show you some preliminary results that point in the right direction. And I'm also interested in your feedback into what are the other interesting things that we should look at. So this analysis is done on the Worldwide Intelligence Network environment, which is a system that we have developed over the past year at Symantec. And it's made up of two things. On the one hand, we have field data that is received from the sensors that Symantec has deployed worldwide. And by sensors, I mean Symantec products that are used by real people, honeypots, decoy email accounts that collect spam, but also backend systems that collect logs or crawl the web looking for new threats. And the second part is a platform for benchmarking new security ideas and for conducting data analysis at scale. And both these resources are currently available. We're making them available to researchers in academia. So in a nutshell, yes, question. It's the latter, and this is actually what I'm trying to say on this slide. This is what WINE is in a nutshell. We include data received from millions of end hosts and assembled into multiple data sets that are actually used by Symantec in the company's day-to-day operations. As Vern previously mentioned, we do not include into WINE all the data that Symantec collects. However, we provide a representative sample. And the system itself is provisioned for data-intensive computing and, in particular, for conducting experiments with data-intensive techniques. This is not a production system. It's not on anybody's critical path. It is something that is purely there for people to play with. However, because as I explained, this is the data that that Symantec uses in its day-to-day operations. It's very sensitive and it's very important for us because all our products and services are based on this data. We are not making it available as something that you can download. It must be accessed only on Symantec premises, and we have we have two locations where currently WINE can be accessed, one being in Culver City, California. This is in the Los Angeles area, and the other one is in Herndon, Virginia, which is in the DC metro area. And one of the cool things about WINE is that we make an effort to ensure that experiments conducted on WINE are repeatable. So one of the ways is that we archive the reference data sets that are used in prior experiments. So for example, if you would like to conduct an experiment and you would like to allow other people to repeat it and reproduce your results, perhaps 5 years from now when they're trying to compare a new algorithm against what you did, this will be possible because we actually store each data set used in these experiments. And we also take a method that is widely used in other experimental sciences of maintaining a lab book that documents the experimental hypotheses and the input and output data. Now, the two data sets, so in this talk, I will refer to two data sets that are currently included in WINE. The first one is antivirus telemetry, so this includes reports that a specific host-based attack, a virus, was detected somewhere. And the reports include a timestamp, an identifier for the virus signature, a textual description of the platform, of the operating system, a file hash for the file that was detected as being malicious, and a few other attributes. Intrusion detection telemetry, similarly, includes a timestamp, a signature ID for the intrusion, the platform description string and some information that is specific network-based threats, such as the port that was targeted, where the attack came from, what was the process that received the attack, et cetera. Yes, Simon.
So it's the difference between the antivirus and intrusion detection telemetry is that the latter is deployed on the network?
No.
Or, no, okay.
In both cases, the product runs on the end host that is targeted by attack. So in particular, in the case of intrusion detection telemetry, these are attacks that bypass, for example, the operating system's firewall. And whatever, you know, IPS or firewall might be running in the network.
Okay, so can we say that anything that is not a virus falls into that category?
We can say that it's not a virus?
Like a malware signature, but something else falls into the intrusion detection category. Is that true? Because I don't see the big difference between these two. If you have a malware, that's an intrusion, right?
The difference is that one focuses on detections that are done on network packets, signatures based on network traffic, again, on the end host. And the other one has signatures on files. So if the file is known to be malicious, we detect that.
So if there's a malware coming in from the network, that would trigger the IDS, that will have a sample
right.
in the IDS, but not in the antivirus.
Right, but if you receive something as an email attachment, for example, in download or you download it on your computer, it will be detected by the antivirus.
Okay. Thank you.
So one important thing to understand is that these reports do not correspond to successful attacks. So whenever we receive a report in the antivirus telemetry or the intrusion detection telemetry, this means that the product has blocked that attack. So we have an indication of an attack attempt, but not of a successful attack here. So analyze this data, here we focus on the security of operating systems. So we first of all have to identify these operating systems, giving the textual description that is provided in each report. Now, we noticed that we receive telemetry primarily from Windows, various versions of the Windows operating system. From each report, we extract from this textual description the version of the Windows operating system, the service pack information, and the build number. And after that, we filter out the invalid combinations. So in the first example, you see an operating system with the wrong build number. This is a build number that does not correspond to Windows XP. In some cases, these are completely bogus. We also exclude operating systems that we somehow detect before they were released, because this also indicates that there's something bogus in the data. We exclude the pre-RTM builds which were leaked to the public, because we didn't feel that it would be fair to include these in the analysis. It would just skew the results. We also exclude operating systems detect running on less than 100 hosts, because these would skew the results. We also exclude the server editions of Windows, because we feel that we presume that these may be running actual servers that are accessible from the internet, and therefore would exhibit different attack patterns than the other operating systems. So as an outcome, we have 16 platforms that span 9 years of Windows releases. Determining what is a virus is a bit more tricky. It's more challenging, because antivirus signatures are often generic. They detect threats that have things in common, such as a common exploit. However, they may be completely distinct threats. And also, there are cases where a malware sample is sometimes detected by several signatures. And in general, distinguishing between a virus and a virus family is difficult to do precisely. Most research literature that looks at malware analysis tends to report counts of malware variants, because these are easy to detect. You just count the distinct file hashes. And this is actually what the semantic ISDR report includes as well. But in this paper, because we wanted to understand if it might be more difficult to develop viruses for a specific platform than for others, we wanted to have a notion that of what is a distinct virus. So for the purposes of this presentation, a distinct virus is a non-heuristic antivirus signature that has non-overlapping detections. So in other words, if there is one file hash that is detected by multiple signatures, then we eliminate both signatures from this analysis. We cannot do the same thing for an intrusion because we do not have this file to determine which detections are overlapping. So then in this talk, an intrusion corresponds to an IPS signature. And some submissions are throttled at the client side for various purposes, and therefore we exclude, so for example, only 1/4 of all the detections were submitted back to Symantec, and we excluded these as well from the analysis in order to avoid skewing the results. So in this presentation, by an attack, I mean a report either in the antivirus or in the intrusion detection telemetry. So let's look at some preliminary results. First of all, we noticed that the number of the volume of cyber threats increases with the deployment size of an operating system. So the more hosts there are there, the more distinct viruses will be created for that particular platform, and the more intrusion signatures will be available for that platform. Yes, question?
Yeah. So how do you define distinct? I mean, it just looks different, is it?
So it's a non-heuristic antivirus signature with non-overlapping detection.
Okay, sorry. Missed that.
So one interesting thing to notice is that the versions, the operating system versions for which we have the highest volume of distinct viruses and intrusions available are also the ones that have deployed most of these new security technologies. So they are among the ones that are really well defended. And we also noticed that there is a deviation from this rule that more hosts mean more distinct viruses. And this corresponds for some reason to the 64-bit versions of post Vista operating systems. I'm not exactly sure what's happening here. It could be that there are currently not sufficient exploits or kits for the malware production to reach critical mass. Now, usually when I present these results, people ask me, why is Mac OS missing from this slide? So, okay, here's Mac OS. We observe a similar trend. However, I must mention that on the previous slide I had log scales, while here, they are linear scales, and the trend really looks similar, the growth. What I want to point out is that we do not have sufficient data. We have very few intrusions working for macOS, so we don't have enough data for statistically significant results.
I'm just confused. What is a single point on this plot?
Ah, yes, sorry, I went too fast. So we count intrusions and distinct viruses per month. So therefore, one point corresponds 1 month, all the intrusions and the number of hosts that were running that operating system during that month. So one of the Windows operating systems, Service Pack 1 for Windows 7, was actually released during the observation period, which made us wonder what happens when you introduce a new operating system. So do you see do you already see attacks, or you know, does it take a while to ramp up? So we looked at what happens immediately after an operating system is introduced, and you know, the first thing that I want to point out is that these attack counts, these intrusion and this virus counts do not start at zero. So obviously, some existing viruses are still able to attack these new operating systems. For the intrusion detection telemetry, we see a growing trend, which suggests that you know, it could be explained by the fact that there are more machines that that are using the operating system. But for the distinct viruses, we see a more a different pattern. We don't see a distinct growth pattern, which suggests that there may be a different factor here involved. So Ulfar, do you want me to stop now, or because there were some questions? I still have a few results. All right. So then we wanted to look into this notion of attack surface, which enumerates the number and the importance of attack vectors that attackers have at their disposal, such as open sockets, holes through the firewall, services that are running by default. And really, several researchers have argued that the reduction of attack surface is a complementary approach for improving security to eliminating bugs, because it makes no assumptions on what vulnerabilities may be existing or the attacker's capabilities. So the question we wanted to ask is, can we estimate what the attack surface of a certain operating system is from field data, from the observed in the field? Yes. No, I mean, that's definitely on the to-do list, yeah.
Can you repeat the question?
So the question is, why don't we include plugins and operating system components? And I think that definitely we want to get to that level of granularity. However, this is just, you know, what we were able to do in a month. Okay. So this is what the data looks like. In this case, it's a bit... you have to be a bit careful how you interpret these results, because for intrusion detection telemetry, when you receive an attack, it means that the attack bypassed the operating system's firewall, and also that there was an open port ready to receive the attack. So this somewhat corresponds to the notion of attack surface. And we notice here that for the operating systems before Windows Vista, there's quite a bit of variability, but there's much less variability for the newer versions. For antivirus telemetry, it's a bit more difficult to interpret what we receive, because an attack indicates the presence of a virus. So a malicious file was detected on that host. It doesn't mean that that particular threat or that particular file could have executed, could have successfully infected the host, right? However, we also see here, what's interesting is that we also see here this high variability or this lower variability for newer operating systems. And this may be because some of the detections that are irrelevant to the attack surface are averaged out in the process. Oh, to go back to Vern's question, in this on this slide, these are no longer averaged per month, but they are averaged over the whole observation period. What we would really like to do is to understand what is the impact of a specific security technology. So, you know, what impact has ASLR had in the world? It is challenging to go to that level of granularity, because usually several security technologies are introduced in a bundle. So for example, with Vista, you know, we had ASLR, user account control, driver signing, many different security technologies, and it's hard to tell which is to isolate the impact of each one of them. However, we looked at two security technologies that were not introduced as a major upgrade, but as a service pack. So in particular, the safe structured exception handling, which is a form of data execution prevention, a software DEP, which was introduced in Service Pack 1 of Vista, and the Service Pack 2 for Windows XP, which introduced support for the hardware no execute bit, and it also had an improved firewall, which was turned on by default for the first time. As you can see, it's still hard to isolate the impact of a specific technology. However, it's interesting to see that the volume of attacks in the antivirus telemetry that we observe in the antivirus telemetry is actually higher with XP Service Pack 2. This suggests that perhaps the introduction of a security technology in itself does not reduce the susceptibility to attacks until all the bugs are worked out. So, in addition to the challenges for interpreting the data that I already mentioned, the biggest threat to the validity of this study is, of course, selection bias. We only receive data from hosts that are running Symantec products, and in particular, users that install antivirus products may be more security-minded than most. However, here we have access to a large population, so over 5 million hosts, and a wide diversity of platforms, of Windows platforms, which suggests that our results have a broader applicability. Similarly, our study focuses primarily on the Windows platform, and it's unclear if our results on the susceptibility of attacks generalize to other operating systems. However, Windows is also the platform that was mainly targeted by malware in the past 10 years. Finally, it's unclear how many attacks are actually deflected by the operating system's first line of defenses, such as the firewall. However, here we excluded platforms that are likely to be more exposed to these attacks, such as Windows Server, and we hope that the remainder of the data set is comparable. I briefly want to mention what additional data sets we have in Wine, because I think some people might be interested here. We have a very interesting data set that comes from our reputation-based security products that tried to provide an early warning that an unknown binary may be malicious, and this essentially tells us what executable binaries are downloaded on hosts around the world. We all have a similar reputation-based system that focuses instead of malicious attacks on the stability of hosts across application installs and upgrades. And we have historical URL reputation. And we also, right now, we're working on adding some more data sets, such as logs from DNS servers operated by Symantec, samples of spam, telemetry from our Android-based security solutions, as well as dynamic analysis traces for a subset of our malware collection. We also have malware. Actually, that should have been on the slide. We have a large collection of malware, actual malware samples. So in conclusion, I proposed here the idea of analyzing antivirus and intrusion detection telemetry from 5 million hosts in order to evaluate the security of operating systems using field data, but also for understanding the factors that influence the production of malware. And this data is available to the research community through Wine. And our preliminary findings include the observation that the production of malware is driven by the target of opportunity, such as the size of the operating system's deployment, with a possible exception for 64-bit platforms. And the volume of attacks depends on the operating system version. And new platforms are attacked immediately as they are released using existing cyber threats. And the introduction of a new security technology does not immediately reduce a platform's susceptibility to attacks. So, thank you. I'm done.
So similar to, so the analysis you did was looking at the impact of introduction of security technologies. On the flip side, have you done anything looking at if there any correlation between the number of attacks you see and vulnerability disclosures? So with, as you see more and more things getting disclosed, now we move towards this
Actually, we are actually in the process of doing something very similar. We're looking at zero-day attacks, so trying to, we have a technique to identify automatically zero-day attacks given the data sets that we have, so, you know, after the fact, of course, but we still identify, we can study their characteristics, and one of the things that we have observed is that after a zero-day attack is disclosed, so after the vulnerability and the exploit are disclosed, they are... the amount of threats of viruses that use that exploit mushrooms. It really grows a lot, but I don't have a number ready to give you right now. This is ongoing work.
Okay, thanks.